wear a different part in a car, and we are put together in a certain way. And when we are put together and you look at it as a whole, then you call it a car. Or the common usage car comes into being when these things are put together in a certain way. But if you examine each part separately, you cannot find a thing that you can call a car. Are the wheels car? Are they the feet car? Are the body car? And so on. Then you cannot find any car at all. So what we call a car is nothing but the conglomeration of the different component parts. In the same way, what we call a being is nothing but the combination of this mind and matter. Apart from this mind and matter, there is nothing that we can call a being or a person or an individual. This a yogi comes to see clearly when he clearly sees the mind and matter occurring, coming and going, coming and going. In the same way, what is a house? It is the combination of walls, roofs, doors, and so on. So if you examine each part separately, there is nothing we can call a house. But the combination of these things. And also a fist. What is a fist? When you put your fingers and thumb in certain way, then you call it a fist. A fist comes into being. But apart from these fingers and the palm, there can be no fist at all. So if you examine each part, each finger separately, there can be no fist. The same with the city. So what we call bodily city is just the conglomeration of different buildings, and we call it a bodily city. If you examine each part, say each building, there can be nothing we can call a bodily city. So for common usage, for the convenience of usage, we give names to these combination of things. A car, a chariot, a house, a fist, a city, or any other thing. But in reality, when we examine the different parts one by one, we cannot find such things, but just the different component parts. So when a yogi sees in this way, he comes to see correctly that there is no being or person or man or woman or individual in the ultimate sense, but just the nama and rupa coming together and functioning. And when he sees the nama and rupa functioning together, he comes to see the interdependence of nama and rupa also. So when they function together, they must be dependent on each other. Mind cannot exist alone. Mind has no efficient power to do things by itself because it lacks body. Mind cannot do things, mind cannot eat, mind cannot sleep, and so on. And the body itself cannot do anything because it has no mind. So when body and mind come together as a whole, which we call a being, then it can function as a whole, as a person or as a being. So mind and matter are interdependent. If we take the mind, then the matter falls. And if we take the matter out, the mind falls. So they must be together in order to function. They are like, they are compared to the marionette. A marionette or the wooden doll cannot get up and do things if there are no strings. And the strings alone cannot do anything without the wooden doll. So wooden doll and the strings combine together and it becomes a marionette and it can dance or walk or jump, whatever it is. In the same way, mind and matter depend upon each other, and when they come together, they function as a whole. And it is compared, mind and matter is compared to the two bundles of reeds that put together, depending on each other. When you take one bundle, then the other bundle falls. So in the same way, when mind is taken from the body, then at death, the body also falls. The body cannot function at all. When the body dies, mind cannot function by itself. So mind needs body, and body needs mind to function as a whole. This, a yogi comes to see when he sees that there is mind and matter only, and they function together. Another simile is the simile of a blind man and a cripple. A blind man cannot see, cannot do what is to be done by the eyes, because he is blind. But he can walk. And a cripple cannot walk, cannot do what is to be done by legs, but he can see. So, by themselves, I mean, a blind man by himself cannot do the walking or going, and a cripple also cannot do the work of going. But when they come together, say the blind man told the cripple, say, I'm blind, I cannot see, I cannot do what is to be done by eyes, but I have feet and I can go. And the cripple also told the blind man, say, I'm crippled, I cannot do what is to be done by legs, but I can see, so let us be together. And he gets upon the blind man. And when they are together, and the cripple directing the blind man, and they can go to places, they can function. So in the same way, mind and matter, when they come together, they can function. When they are not together, they cannot function. In this world of five aggregates, mind cannot exist without the matter. It needs matter of material qualities to have as its base. So, seeing mind cannot occur if we do not have eyes. Hearing mind cannot occur if we do not have ears, and so on. So mind and matter are interdependent. And only when they come together can they function. When a boat takes you to the other shore, the man depends on the boat, and the boat depends on the man. So if there is no one who rows the boat will not go to the other shore. And if there is no boat, then the man cannot go to the other shore. So just as the boat and the man depend upon each other to cross to the other shore, so mind and matter need each other to function. And this is said in the Visuddhimagga on the path of purity. And just as men depend upon a boat for traversing the sea, so does the mental body need the matter body for occurrence. And as the boat depends upon the man for traversing the sea, so does the matter body need the mental body for occurrence. Depending each upon the other, the boat and man go on the sea. And so do mind and matter both depend the one upon the other. So mind and matter depend upon one other, and only when they come together can they function as a whole, as a being, or as an individual. And when a yogi sees that there is only mind and matter functioning together, and nothing else, as a being, or an individual, or a person, he gained the correct vision of nama and rupa. He is said to have gained the correct vision, correct knowing. And he gained this by overcoming the perception of being. According to the teachings of the Buddha, there is no being, no person, no individual, no man, no woman, just this mind and body combined. So when a yogi really sees the mind and body distinctly, one from the other, he can discard the perception that there is a being. He can do away with this notion of being. A being is just a designation given to this mind and body complex for the convenience of usage. So when a person, when a yogi has gained this insight into the mind and body, he is said to have gained the purity of views. That means he is said to have gained the right view with regard to mind and matter. And this, defining the nama and rupa, or mind and matter, is the first of the different stages of vipassana knowledge, which a yogi must go from one step to another. Without this knowledge of nama rupa, a yogi cannot progress to the other stages of vipassana knowledge. So this is the basic of the vipassana knowledge. It is the first step in the knowledge of vipassana. Therefore, it is important that yogis or meditators gain this purification of view, the correct vision of mind and matter, through direct experience, not through reading books, not through speculation, not through listening to the talks, but through direct experience, through personal experience and through direct vision. So when a yogi comes to see this through direct vision, and he said you have gained this purification of view, and when he gained this purification of view, and he can go up and up through the different stages of vipassana knowledge to the uppermost step, which we call the realization of truth. So it is important to gain a clear knowledge of nama and rupa, or mind and matter, by the practice of vipassana meditation. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Just a minute.